Hello and welcome to The Big Fight. It's time today on the show to talk about one of the issues that may well become one of the biggest problems, one of the biggest talking points that is there in our time. And that's what seems to be a wave of radicalization in parts of the Muslim world. What is leading to it? What can be done to counter it? We've just seen in the holy month of Ramzan, a month of prayer, a month of fasting, a series of attacks across the Muslim world. And you've seen on the day of Eid itself, the most holy of days and a day of celebration and a day of prayer turning into a day of mourning in Bangladesh as there was an attack out there. Now, this is what's happening across the Muslim world. In India, perhaps a slightly different picture and a different story. Again on Eid this week, we saw in mosque after mosque across India, Muslim clerics coming out, attacking ISIS, denouncing it as being un-Islamic and speaking out against violence and terror. So is India, in a sense, one of the bulwarks which is going to stand against what is happening? I have assembled on the course of this program some of the deepest thinkers in this particular area. It gives me great pleasure to welcome onto the program Mr. Tariq Bukhari is here with us, General Secretary, Muslim Majlis-e-Aman. Taslima Nasreen, exiled Bangladeshi writer. It's great to have you with us, ma'am. Here in the studio, it's rare that you come and join a debate like this, so it's a real privilege to have you with us. Professor Rakesh Sinha, Vicharak with close links to the RSS. Dr. Wael Awad, political analyst in the Midwest and West Asia, will tell us what's really coming and emanating from that area. Joining us from Canada, another very prominent thinker who's been sharply critical about some of the trends in the Muslim world. Tariq Fateh is joining us, an author and columnist. Jay Panda joining us from Bhubaneswar. Great to have you with us, Jay. And finally, from joining us from Lucknow, Maulana Khalid Rashid Firangi Mahali, one of the people who made a very strong statement at his sermon on Eid, and something which I will urge all of you to listen to. But thank you all so much for joining us. But let me just get started. The wave of radicalization, is it something new? Is it a trend that we are seeing? And is it something that should worry us? Why don't I start with you?
To start with, I'm very sorry to say that I would love to answer your question. That's a very important question these days. I'll answer one question only, because there is a problem with me. This problem of radicalization in India, alhamdulillah, is not there. So as a nation, we are united. In India, you have been you have been following the issues very deeply, very minutely. There is no such a case what I have following. We have not come through a single case of radicalization in India. And
why is India different to other countries? Why is it standing out?
Because I think we are very deeply know our religions. As far as India is concerned, we are very well joined to each other. We are very intermingled with each other as far as cultures and religions are concerned. That's the only reason. So after giving this answer, I'm very sorry to say, Mr. Vikram, I can't continue in your show because I can't share the dice with the lady who is standing beside me. I'm very sorry to say, I can't continue.
Hang on, wait a minute. If you have something to say to her, you can.
This is the only question.
No, just one remark.
I can't continue. You can continue your debate.
I think the NDTV has all the right. I think this is the symptom of radicalization.
No, why?
This is the rejection of secularism and democracy. Democracy means sharing dice.
She has rejected
the radical elements. She has not rejected the liberal democratic
forces. Right to invite anybody, but I can't continue. I'm really sorry to say.
Let him go.
So you are contradicting yourself. Vikram, he is contradicting.
Rakesh, let me just talk to you now.
I would have loved to continue in this show.
Look,
I'm really sorry.
Let him go.
Can I just talk? Look, we were discussing this. I know you've just walked into the studio and you don't want to share a
dice. Let him go, sir.
You can tell your supporters if you're concerned. You can tell them that, I mean, you do not know till right now.
The debate will go towards some other way.
Excuse me, sir.
Please.
Either there are other people here as well. If you want to hog the show, if you don't want to sit with her, I would go if you sit there. You are the radical. You are the ones beating up the
whatever you say. It's not radicalization, I'm sorry to say. You are misinterpreting my words.
Absolutely, you just lied.
You are misinterpreting. I can't stand. I am. I will be more than happy to continue, but I can't. Sorry, Mr. Vikram. I'm leaving.
Don't hog this.
Can you? Okay. Can I ask you one more question and then you can leave?
Please.
You want to say something about the global trends before you leave us?
Pardon?
If you're saying that India is a bullock. Tariq, one sec, let him leave. He's leaving. I'm just getting one more comment from him.
Just a moment. If I am leaving, so you can see the debate will go some other way.
So no, the others
on
the panel.
We are discussing,
well,
not debating. So I don't want to spoil your show. So it's better.
You
can continue with your show, no problem.
No, can I? Okay,
it's
can I ask you? Can I ask you for your interpretation of the global trends before you leave us? Is there a wave elsewhere which we are seeing? Bangladesh, Middle East? Pakistan.
It is in India, sir. What are you talking
but
about?
Vikram, I have one objection.
Tariq Mohammed, Rakesh, please.
He is insulting our guest. He is saying that, see, he
I'm not insulting a guest. I'm not insulting a guest. I'm not insulting the television.
This is not Indian culture. This is not Indian culture.
I'm not questioning any TV, therefore, that matter.
Rakesh, one second. Rakesh, I'm about to come with the Sleema. I'm about to come with the Sleema ji.
The debate will go some other way. We are here to discuss. I love to discuss, not to debate that.
We can't.
Okay, Rakesh, can you? The Sleema ji is perfectly capable of speaking for herself.
Not to debate.
Okay, fine. Rakesh. All right, fine.
Please allow me to leave.
If you have to leave, that's all right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right.
I respond one thing? He lied through his teeth. He says India there's no radicalization. 500,000 pundits were forced out of Jammu Kashmir, the only state that has a Muslim majority. Hindus cannot live there, and he's saying that there is no radicalization in India. Are we blind or deaf or dumb?
But hang on, can I just? Tariq Fateh, we know what happened in Kashmir. We know what happened in Kashmir.
That's part of India.
Yes,
in
I know it's part
mind,
of India.
That's but, not but part can of I, India.
But can I ask you a broader question? Having said that, if you're looking at the trends, and I'm going to get Maulana Firangi Mehli right now, if you look at other trends, where in which other part of the world do you have a situation where on Eid, in mosque after mosque after mosque, Muslim clerics have stepped up, have attacked ISIS, have denounced it as being un-Islamic?
Not a single mosque in India denounced the doctrine of armed jihad. Not a single mosque said that laws cannot be made out of Sharia. They are duping the entire left liberal intelligentsia of India by saying we've denounced ISIS. The very people who denounce ISIS defend the doctrine which is based on ISIS. Right from the time Prophet Muhammad died, these people who have put politics and Islam together have murdered caliph after caliph after caliph. They wiped out the Prophet's family and stood up and said, oh, we are peace-loving. I will not go what the mullahs say. There's a choice between mullah Islam and Allah Islam.
Okay.
Let that be clear.
Right, we've heard you. Now, Maulana Rashid Firangi Mehli, let me turn to what you were saying and what you actually said and what I thought was a brilliant sermon in Lucknow on Eid. What is it that the message that you think you and others are putting forward in India? Because at least we are being able to debate in India the concept of what should happen, what is real Islam, and how Islam is being perhaps hijacked by a particular fringe.
See, generally, I love to share, come on the debate of your channel, especially of NDTV, whereas I do not go on each and every channel because in some of the channels, they invite guests who use very bad language against the Indian Muslim. And one of the guests is being invited by your channel, that is Mr. Fateh Muhammad or whatever his name is, Tariq Fateh. He is senior to me. He is elder than me. And our religion taught us not to disrespect or to show disrespect against any individual. But he repeatedly used such a derogatory language against the Indian Islamic scholars and the Indian Muslims. I don't know why the channels in India, why the media in India give so much importance to a Pakistani person who is continuously saying lot of words which are against the religious sentiments of the Indian Muslims. As far as the ISIS is concerned, we have very clearly said in our e-sermon, and have already said before that also in our Friday sermons, that whatever ISIS is doing is completely against the basic teachings of Islam. As your channel has shown repeatedly, that Islam does not permit, or any religion does not permit, any kind of violence. And I have also said before on your channel that in Quran, Allah has very clearly said that killing of one innocent person is equal to the killing of the entire humanity. The Prophet Muhammad have said that Allah will show mercy only on you when you will show mercy on the other living beings. And these living beings include the people from all religion. So whatever we say in the light of the religious text. We have nothing to do what Mr. Fateh Ali or his or people of his likes want to say.
You want to reply to him, and then I'm going to come back to the main subject.
The point here is that from the two Indian Muslims who have spoken so far, one walked out because he couldn't sit and attack the Sri Manasri. The other person, without knowing me, attacked me and made the entire discussion a personal thing. This is what is the problem of Islam right across the world. The lack of tolerance.
This is not
of the
this
other.
Is not problem. You have
Just
started.
Don't,
you have started.
Don't
you have used bad words. You have used bad words against
Maulana
the Indian
sahab,
Muslims, against the Indian Islamic scholars.
Maulana sahab,
we have nothing said against you before that. First, you have said
you,
that
why,
whatever
why
we are saying in our sermons is against the basic teachings of Islam.
I very strongly
object to it.
Okay, gentlemen, can I please declare a truce on this panel now? And I really would like to get back onto the main subject, because it's a serious issue which I think needs a lot of serious discussion. On the issue of radicalization, and Tasleem Majeed, let me now get you into it. Look at a country like Bangladesh, you know, where, yes, it has been coming. Then there were attacks. Then there were individuals going with machetes and attacking liberal bloggers and others. And now what seems to be a wave of terror, you're having an attack. It would have been almost inconceivable 5 years, 6 years ago that a crowd of people worshipping and praying at Eid in Bangladesh is going to be attacked by people coming and shooting. Young men who seem to be normal in every sense of the word, posting their pictures on Facebook one day, are then coming out, dragging people out, separating them on religion, and then slaughtering them in the most brutal of manners. There is something worrying about what's happening.
Yes. You know, those young Muslim men are brainwashed with Islam. They're brainwashed in mosques and madrasas. There are many mosques now and many madrasas. The government actually build more and more madrasas and more mosques to get votes from religious masses. So Islamization started in Bangladesh just after Bangladesh got independence in 1971. Now it is, I think, beyond control, because government used religion for its own interest. And now, because of religion, many, many people are becoming fundamentalists. And also, those young people from rich families, educated families, they leave Bangladesh for Iraq and Syria, and they're brainwashed with Islam by those ISIS leaders, and they became ISIS members, and they come to Bangladesh and terrorize Bangladesh.
But I think the point that was being made, and I want to come back to Maulana Firangi Mahli, is Maulana Sahib, would you like to elaborate on that? You seem to be saying that what these people are advocating and what ISIS seems to be advocating is un-Islamic in your view.
Yeah, whatever IS is advocating is completely against the basic tenets, the basic message of Islam. And if you will look at the whatever is happening in our country in India, India has one of the largest Muslim population. If you will see in our country, there is nothing such as radicalization of Muslims on any ground. This is the basic example by which you can guess that IS has not been able to be successful in our country. And one must keep in mind that all these terrorist organizations have nothing to do with religion. They are basically being used by various governments for their political games, whether it you will take the case of Al-Qaeda or ISIS.
Jay, you want to quickly come in on this?
Basically, what I have written about recently is that there is too much political correctness on this issue, and everybody is approaching this problem very gingerly, as if something is going to get upset. And we are, I think, hesitating from facing the problem. Now, this is not just an Indian thing. Throughout the world, there is a movement today that to say that the jihadi terrorism has nothing to do with religion is actually, I mean, can't be defended anymore, because you see these terrorists shouting religious slogans, asking people to test their knowledge of the Quran as they kill victims. So rather than trying to avoid the problem, I think it's better that we face the problem. The problem is, every time we try to face the problem, we go into black and white, and people start attacking Islam, whereas and Muslims. Whereas, as you know, the vast majority of Muslims are certainly, they do not subscribe to these theories. And as you have pointed out, in Indian mosques, they have spoken out against ISIS. And there are many, many Muslims in India and abroad who speak out against this. And I've said that these are the voices that must get more play. I just want to say one more thing. Every religion has good parts and bad parts. But most religions have been able to cope with modernity much better. And this is something that's been written about by many people across the world. And to say that there is nothing that Muslims or Islam needs to introspect, I think maybe sanitizing the problem too much. We must look at it with an open mind and see what else we can do. Because also, to say that there is no radicalization in India is not correct. I agree there is less radicalization compared to many Western countries, compared to even smaller countries like Australia. But there are already several dozen young Indian men who are out there involved with ISIS and other terrorist organizations.
Jay, there are 180 crore
Muslims in
India.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm saying
the percentage of their 5 or 10 or 30 or 1,000.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
Can I come back on that issue?
But to say that it is...
Yeah,
but to say it is zero is, I think, avoiding the problem.
Yeah, Mr. Fateh, come back. Then I'm going to come. Yeah.
Here's the point. My contention is that we are looking at two facets of Islam. Islam as a moral compass, which is completely different from using Islam as a political tool. The Islam that is a moral compass, unfortunately, died the day Prophet Muhammad died, because within hours of his death, the same people that were his followers were bringing out swords. They clashed with each other within hours. Okay. And of the first four caliphs of Islam, three were murdered.
Right.
And the fourth one, Imam Ali, was murdered while he was leading
the
prayer.
I don't want to spend too much time getting into theology because, you know, we'll be...
Vikram, then don't say... say that this is a new thing.
Okay.
Taimur came to India and built pyramids of Hindu heads.
Okay.
And we, Aurangzeb, beheaded people.
Dr. Abad, what we are seeing today, now let's just again come back to what's happening right now. What's really behind a lot of the radicalization in the last 30, 40 years is you had a particular version of Wahhabi, Salafist, you know, Islam started in Saudi Arabia, started to spread. It was actively, you know, spread in countries, India and elsewhere. And that's from where these different factions have come out. How do you understand the difference of the way that is being spread in, let's say, the Middle East and India? How would you compare and contrast them?
Assalamu alaikum, first of all, because in my religion we say Assalamu alaikum, that means peace on you. If my religion teach peace, then that means there is no, whoever follow the religion has to preach what you teach is actually what you practice. You cannot teach something else. So when Prophet Muhammad, or we are discussing the ideology of Islam, we are talking about Islam as a Quran, the holy book, or we are talking of the Muslim following the Quran. That's a two different story. So we have to differentiate in our talk. In the Middle East, in the Arab world, we have understood the Quran and Hadith al-Sharif, where the people, the holy book, have read it. Now, if you wanted to tell me why it is happening in India or elsewhere in the world, there is a reason to it, because political Islam was introduced, and that was the main reason for having this much of problem, because Islam as a religion, if you take it 10 years ago, it is one of the largest growing religion in the world. People are following, and if you go to a mosque, you will see the king, you will see the peasants, you will see the different color of people, different ages, all in the same line. What we have been witnessing is, in every religion, as Jay was saying, it's exactly the same. Every religion teach killing. There is a killing in the book. There is a mention of this in every religion. I have 101 examples to give, but I'm not here to discuss religions of different faith. The point is that we all believe in the oneness of God, but God is saying, I am denouncing my people who is fighting in my name. We are fighting on his name for no reason. Why we are killing each other? There is nobody, no reason to kill. So these people have come when there is a Prophet Muhammad was dead. Yes, there was a conflict among his followers. There are people who came back to their own belief. And then that was a time when 1,400 years ago, this book was mentioned and written and discussion was on. But the interpretation, we allowed mullism, we allowed the clergy to come and speak on behalf of us how they understand Islam. Islam is not understood by Google translation, by the way. There is three different words you can read it in the same translation for qatilu, iqtilu, wa dafi'u. This is kill, fight, and also attack. There are three different. So there is no question, nobody come and tell you come and kill. There is no, this is different. Please try to understand the difference in the subject.
Taslim Maji, it's a question really of interpretation. How you interpret it, and then when you add the political aspects of people trying to take advantage of it politically, there are people who try and take advantage of it then from as an instrument of state terror, as we have seen very clearly in our particular neighborhood, and then the clergy starts to interpret it in a particular manner which leads to its own problems, all of which perhaps are contributing to radicalization.
You know, the ISIS and other terrorist organizations reading the same Quran that here moderate Muslims are reading, but here they interpret it differently, and those terrorists interpret, they take the Quranic verses literally. There are many verses that say that kill unbelievers, kill them wherever you find them, kill people who criticize Islam. So the ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Boko Haram and Al-Shabaab and other terrorist organizations are following the orders of Allah and Muhammad. So what we need to reform Islam. We need to change the Islamic world. We need to have laws based on equality, not based on the Quran. Because if we have laws based on Islam, then you see that women do not get equality. Islam is not compatible with human rights, women's rights, freedom of expression and democracy. And many other religions are not compatible with human rights, women's rights.
She is interpreting Islam completely wrong. And Islam has no verse in the Quran give you a license to kill anyone. To kill anyone who criticize Islam or who say anything which is against Islam. There are a number of communities, there are people following various religion living in various Islamic countries, and no Islamic government is killing them. So to say that there is no human rights in Islam. The Prophet Muhammad in his last sermon has said very rightly and has showed and has thrown much light on the basic human rights, and it has been adopted by in the UN resolution also. And she is saying that Islam is against humanity and human rights, and Islam
but a Hindu
has
cannot
been
be
equal
a Saudi
right
citizen.
To both men and women.
Okay, I don't want to get into what's Saudi happening in Pakistan. Is irrelevant.
It is not an Islamic law that a Hindu cannot become a Saudi nation. It is the law of the Saudi government. It is not the law of the Quran.
All right.
What about Rakesh? Pakistan? What about Bangladesh?
But we are not
Pakistan,
here.
Pakistan or Bangladesh is not based on the Islamic thought. They are following the constitution which is not based on the Quran. They have a written constitution.
In any case, what Pakistan does is almost irrelevant. Pakistan is hardly a model for any of us to be necessarily following. Rakesh.
No, but here's the point, Vikram. Yeah. You have an
why
Indian
Saudi
state.
Arabia, Pakistan,
only
or
one Indian state.
Why are these models?
That is
Saudi Arabia is certainly not a model for anyone.
Why? No, I'm not saying that. But let's not be dishonest. The only state in India that is a Muslim majority, Hindus have been driven out.
Well, actually, Lakshadweep is also a Muslim majority and a point of order.
ISIS flags.
It is a political problem. It has nothing to do with religion.
Oh, every problem.
If you come and see India, Muslim and Hindus are, alhamdulillah, living together without any conflict.
Okay, Rakesh, on that point that he made, let me come to you. Is India a bit of an island right now, and also perhaps a beacon, because there is no radicalization to that same extent in India? That perhaps is a very good model for other countries to follow.
No, there is a difference between radicalization and intellectual pursuit of a radicalization. You just see. One guest boycotted this show because Taslima is here. This is not a small thing. This is a symptom of pursuit of radicalization. There are certain people who say that they can't say a dice, any voice which is a reformist voice. She is a symbol of reformist voice. You can reject her. You can contest her. You can confront her. But you can't boycott her. You can't ignore her. Second point I am telling you that what is the basis of Islam? Whether it is in India or Syria, the basis of Islam is the theory of abolition. What is this theory of abolition? Abolish any un-Islamic impact on Islam. That is the main problem. So this abolitionist group, sometimes left, sometimes ISIS, I am less bothered about the banner. I am bothered about the theory they are basing their ideology. That is abolition. Political Islam failed to respond Western ideology. Ideology of political democracy, ideology of secularism, which has everything is coming from Western idea. This failure of the political Islam led the emergence of certain groups.
I think he's talking about the fact that should there be greater secularization to try and make sure that is that the counterpart to radicalization, like what
Vikram, look, I lived in this South Asia for more than 30 years. I can understand the South Asia mentality. I have grown up in families among in Indian, in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, in Bangladesh, in the whole of the South Asia. I can tell you with conviction that I have done a documentary as well on the madrasas in India. During the peak of the culture of Taliban and Al-Qaeda, that not a single Muslim guy joined. They are Indian first, then they are Muslim. It is your practice of your religion. How can you bring people to you? It's not that this is the wrong, and we should not define things by what literally translation.
So India should follow its own path
India
and not worry about what's happening.
India is the most educated people, the most scholar in Islam who can give to the rest of the world, even the Muslim people, even Arab people like me, should listen to the Indian interpretation and modernization of Islam, how we should practice. That is how you integrate yourself within the society you are living with.
No, Vikram, Pakistan, the formation of Pakistan, it is not far away. 60 years ago, it was a kind of jihad.
I'm calling 200 years ago.
It was based on jihad.
70 years ago is Pakistan no more.
Pakistan, formation of Pakistan was based on religion.
The formation of Pakistan was not a jihad. It was completely a political movement.
I have one question.
The partition of Bangladesh was also a completely a political movement.
I have one question to you. Muslim Brotherhood says that Quran is our constitution. And you also say Quran is constitution. That's why you oppose the Uniform Civil Code. What is the guarantee the Muslim will become 90% in India and the same democracy? Same democracy will prevail. Same secularism will prevail. Same multiculturalism will prevail.
Rakesh, can I ask you?
We are opposing Uniform Civil Code because the constitution of our country has given us right to do so.
Oh, Article 44 says.
Rakesh, where are we going now?
Constitution does not give right to discriminate a woman.
Now let's not convert this into a general forum for Islam bashing. This is not really what we are here for.
I say there is a radical elements in Islam in India, but they are not on the surface because there is a strong commitment to secularism and the state power is very strong. These are the two reasons.
I think there are elements in all religions which would like to have. There are fringe elements in all religions, certainly, and they will probably like to come forward in one form or the other. I think the question that I'm trying to really establish is some of the trends that you are seeing. So when you look back at what happened in Dhaka and is that something that you would worry about? The sort of people who are getting radicalized. It's happening elsewhere. Who knows? It may happen in India also. It's a different type of a person.
If you see 9/11 terrorists, they are all educated, they were engineers, they were rich. Osama bin Laden, he was rich and educated. And other terrorists are also from rich families and educated. Actually, they believe that what Islam says. Islam says that jihad is mandatory for every Muslim. And every Muslim's duty is to turn
but they
are land
different
of
definitions of jihad.
Land of enemies into, you know, turn land of enemies into land of Islam. So they are doing exactly what Islam prescribes. Islam prescribes violence and intolerance, but I'm not going,
I don't want to say what Islam prescribes.
But
again,
Christianity
baseless.
Also
prescribes
violence.
We are not sitting here to hear whatever you say against the basic tenets of our religion.
Why?
I strongly object to it.
Right.
The clear
I believe in your freedom of expression.
The clear-cut definition of jihad is to do something good for your society. It does not mean that you take up guns and go and shoot anyone. This is completely baseless.
Okay, so can I say, hang on, Tariq, one sec. This is a question, and this has been debated now over the last few so many years. There is obviously a question of interpretation out here, right? There is a certain
interpretation. Why are we lying? Why are we politically correct? Do we want to save
Tariq,
from a catastrophe?
Can I speak? There is a question of interpretation. There is a certain interpretation that yes, ISIS takes and the jihadi elements who are taking guns and bombs and blowing it up are taking exactly the definition that Saskima just referred to. Maulana Sahib is saying that that's a wrong definition. So let's accept.
He's lying.
No,
Maulana Sahib is not telling
the
truth.
No, I'm not lying. First try to behave properly. Try to behave in a civilized way. Do not use such derogatory language against Islamic scholars in our country. I strongly object to it. You cannot say such baseless things against me. You cannot use such words on an Indian national media. I strongly object to it.
Tariq, sir, let's not make comments about each other if we can avoid it.
When Taslima Nasreen was threatened with death, did this Maulana come to defend her? When Salman Rushdie was asked to be killed,
no one has the right to disrespect any religious personality.
Okay,
no,
why are we making this
right
question?
To say anything.
Bikram, I have one question.
Maulana Sahab. Keep your
Maulana Sahab,
I think we are confusing the channels. This is a slightly different channel, so I'm sorry. I don't want to be getting into too much personal
because he said that no one has right to insult Prophet. I have one question to Frangi Mal. Can you give two instances of Taslima's writing which is going against the basic tenets of humanism? Egalitarianism,
Rakesh,
and democracy.
Rakesh, we are diverting.
Whatever she has said is completely against the true meaning and spirit of Islam.
She is saying that she has just quoted the mouthpiece of ISIS, and Dabiq interprets Islam in a pure form. How can you condemn Islam?
Islam is against basic human rights. She has just not said. She has just
not
said that that Quran teaches. Quran teaches violence. Just now she has said.
One Islamic country where women get
Quran
equal rights.
Violence.
Okay, Maulana
look,
sahab,
guys,
this is completely against. This is
Can I one second? Where are we headed to? Where are we headed to, right?
Vikram, can I just put one point here? I think we should all understand that we believe all of us in the oneness of God. If there is God in this earth, we should always let him decide our future or what is our destiny. If God wanted to make me and Rakesh as a twin, he would have made me the same color, the same face, the same thing. But he wanted to make me look different so I can negotiate, I can debate,
yes.
I can talk with him. I may convince him, he may convince me. That is why we said the creator himself said, I created you all to be different tribe, different people. It's
okay.
Just like a doctor, two twin doctors, they are studying medicine. One did MBBS, one continued to study and improve himself.
Yes.
One stuck to the religion of Ibn Taymiyyah, who has been teaching in Saudi Arabia all this doctrine, and IS is picking up from them, all radical elements getting from them the teaching of wrong Islam, and they are killing even ours. I'm a Muslim, I'm not welcome by them. They are supposed to kill us like the Christian, like anybody, because that is the teaching.
I agree.
That is the religion. They define Quran, and that is different from what people do.
Jay Panda, can I get Jay Panda into this? Jay, I'm trying to keep bringing the issues back to what we're trying to debate. On the question of the radicalization you're seeing of a certain section, which was not subject to radicalization earlier, you could call it the Facebook generation as we saw in Bangladesh. Is that something that concerns you?
Yes, and let me give you three answers. First of all, you've been mentioning about how every religion has fringe elements, and I've mentioned that every religion has good and bad parts, but I think that diverts from the real problem because there is simply no comparison to the scale of radicalization which we are seeing today with jihadi elements carrying out terrorist activities everywhere. So let's stay focused on the far bigger part of the problem. The second thing I want to say is that I'm proud that many Indian Muslims and many Indian mosques have spoken out against ISIS and others. But there is one crucial problem here. The jihadi terrorists are citing specific clauses from what they understand is their religion. Now, to counter that, people are mentioning the good parts of Islam, which is great, that's fine. But you cannot ignore what the terrorists are citing. And you have to respond to that. And nobody is responding to that. That has to be done. And the third thing I want to say is exactly what you've asked. The radicalization problem is far more serious today because of technology, because middle class and elite people are getting self-radicalized online, and unless specific countering is done by moderate Muslims of the specific interpretation of Islam which these jihadis are preaching, then the problem is not going to get sorted out.
Okay, so can I just go back to you, Maulana Firangi Mehdi? So I think just taking off from that, and I think that in a sense sums up a lot of what we've been discussing out here. As Taslima was also saying, there's a certain interpretation. Now, you could say that that's a wrong interpretation, and you do believe that it's a wrong interpretation. That's not the interpretation that should be taken. But given that ISIS and others are on a daily basis putting out videos saying, this is the interpretation and this is what you need to do, it's a good thing to do and you will go to heaven if you're going to go out and slaughter innocents and murder them and have suicide bombings and blow up people and kill them. Is there a need to find a way to systematically counter that propaganda rather specifically?
You are right that there is a need to counter their wrong propaganda. We must also keep in mind that the number of killing that IS has done, they have killed around 90% Muslims. And if they were the followers of Islam, how can it can be justified that they are killing only Muslims? And they are killing only the Muslim people living in Muslim countries. They have never tried to, you can say, what?
Who killed Imam Hussein? Muslims?
Who killed Tariq? Can we not go back to Imam Hussein? I beg you. Can
no,
we,
you can. Whether we are sitting here to debate on the
whether we are sitting here to debate on the Islamic
law
but in this debate I can, because right now I'm trying to keep my eye by the show society focus. I don't have experts here to have theological debates on what happened in
fatwa against Taslima Nasreen to kill her.
Okay.
There's a fatwa by Indian clerics to kill Taslima Nasreen. And the same clerics then come on your show and say we are a religion of peace. The same clerics who want to kill Salman Rushdie are saying that we'd have no radicalization.
Bikram,
why don't they say on your show that Taslima Nasreen has every right to live in India and say what she has to say?
All right, fine. Tariq, you made your point. Can I get your final thoughts, Taslima ji? We have to wrap up the show now. Taslima ji, your final thoughts, and I'm going to come to Rakesh.
Okay, you know, you will not stop terrorism, Islamic terrorism, by killing terrorists. You have to secularize Islamic society. You have to, you know, allow criticism of Islam. You know, Christian society, Hindu society, Jewish society was reformed or changed because criticism was allowed. Now, Islam is kept away from critical scrutiny that applied to other religions. And, you know, Islam has to go through the enlightenment process that other religions have gone through by questioning unethical, unscientific, inhuman, and irrational aspects of religion. You have to allow critical thinking. Otherwise, you will, you know, the society will have no progress. The secularization is very important in Islamic society. So rather, you know, you should not say that don't criticize Islam because it would hurt religious feelings of people. You know, you have to allow freedom of expression. Otherwise, Islamic society, Islamic world will be exactly the same what is now, you know, and more Islamic terrorists will actually
My humble request to NTTV is that whenever you kindly invite any foreign guest like Taslima Nasreen or Tariq Fateh Sahab, you should tell them about the law of the land. And the law in our country is that no one has the right to hurt the religious sentiments of any individual.
All right.
And you have the right to kill us.
Maulana Sahab, okay, Tariq Sahab, let's not get personal on this. Maulana Sahab, I want to ask you one question. Specifically what Taslima said about the need to have a debate and not necessarily in a negative manner. Is there a time for introspection, as I said? How is a certain message to be spread? Yes, there is a position of crisis. And you're right. If there is radicalization and there's terrorism, yes, a lot of the people who are being killed and attacked are in the Muslim world right now. There is an attack in Jeddah. There was an attack in Medina. There's an attack in Saudi Arabia from where Wahhabism first spread. There have been a number of attacks. So yes, it is time for the Muslim community also perhaps to sit back at this point and saying, how are we going to deal with this? Because this is a problem that needs to be confronted. And if there's a wrong version of Islam that certain people are quoting, how can that be countered?
See, Islam is completely a secular religion. It goes on the principle of coexistence. It allows people of all religion to live together. And you yourself is seeing and practically observing the same in our country in India. Yes. There must always be debate, discussion, introspection about whatever is being said or done in the light of one's religion. And we are open to it.
All right, let me get some thoughts, final thoughts. We are really out of time. Rakesh, final thoughts from you.
We need democratization of Islam, because unless you are coming in a critical zone or you want to remain in an uncritical zone, that is a fundamental difference between Islam and other religions. Second most important point for Islam is that it believes in double rejection. On the one hand, it rejects modernity. on the other hand, it rejects inner voice within Islam, that is reformist voice. And the way they reject not by logic, they reject by fatwa.
I think we in Muslim, we believe in heaven and we believe in hell. And to be in heaven, you have to do good things in life till you be received in heaven. The problem with us of those fatwaism age, that most of those mullahs give this on their own understanding. We are not discussing the Quran Sharif in this part. Please try to understand. The practice of those Muslims has been the main cause of all the trouble. Political Islam, introduction of Ibn Taymiyyah, Wahhabism, Salafism, Takfiri group in Saudi Arabia and Arab Peninsula have created this. If you wanted to finish the problem, catch the snake from the neck, don't from the head, don't catch the tail. Good. That is the main cause of all the troubles. If we really wanted to, Islam has nothing. Islam is a modernization. Prophet Muhammad came to liberate us from this life and makes us better human beings so that we can be in Jannah. If you have Saudi Arabia mullahs sitting and saying that you can kill yourself and kill others and you will have 19,650 virgins waiting for you, that's not Islam. This is against Islam. We should all fight it. And I think the question in your program here is, it's not we should endorse at five lakh people of out of 1.3 billion people Muslim in the world. We should see how to counter this radical element within India and within the world and defeat this menace and let this film
work. Tariq Fateh, final thoughts from you. Final thoughts from you on the program. Then we have to end.
Indian Muslims have to denounce the doctrine of Ghazwa-e-Hind, which means that India, non-Muslims have to be destroyed for the end of times. This Ghazwa-e-Hind has to be denounced at every mosque. If they don't, then they are just covering up the problem and presenting it to you on NDTV.
All right. Jay Panda, final thoughts from you now, as we have to end the show.
Now a time has come where we cannot keep responding to every new attack of jihadi terrorism with homilies, with platitudes and saying goody-goody things. I think we have to face up and have frank conversations, and that can be done in a manner that is not hostile or anti-Islam. It's true that most of the victims are Muslims, but not all of them. Look what happened in Dhaka, where people were singled out depending on what religion they were. That is the future of jihadi terrorism, and we have to face up to it and have real candid conversations before we can actually make progress.
Taslimaji, final word from you on the show. Do you see, is there a chance of change? Do you see radicalization getting worse or do you think it getting better?
Yeah, radicalization is getting worse. And, secularization is the answer. You have to separate state and religion. You have to have laws based on equality, not based on religion. And you have to secularize the society. We don't need Quranic education. We need secular education. We need to make people, they should have their scientific outlook. If we ask all the children that they have to be religious, then, slowly they will become Islamic fundamentalists and they will become Islamic terrorists. So it is better
not
you secularize
the
country.
Not everybody who's religious necessarily becomes a terrorist, but...
There is not so much difference between Islam and Islamic fundamentalism. There is not so much difference between religion and religious fundamentalism.
If you secularize your society... The Quran in its holistic way, rather than being differentiated to create a fight among ourselves. If we understand the religion in its true spirit, we don't have a problem anywhere in the world. Because we should teach everybody the same.
All right, well, obviously this is something that is one of the biggest talking points all around the world. There is a wave of radicalization. There is a threat that we have to squarely confront. And I think it is incumbent upon all of us to really try and come up with what are the answers and what are the best ways to do it. Because the levels of violence that we are seeing, the number of deaths that we are seeing, the number of attacks that we are now seeing on a daily or a weekly basis is really something that is quite sad. And let's hope that we can find an answer to it before things spiral any more out of control. You're watching The Big Fight. We'll be back again next week.